Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? That's what they wanted to know. They wanted to know why they could not do anything to help that boy who was in a bad way. Why can't they do anything? Because a few chapters before, he had given them the power, and they had used the power, and they had been thrilled to be able to do what they did. What did they do? Mark tells us, chapter 6, 13, they cast out many demons. That's what they did. But then they could not. And why? Why not? That's what they wanted to know. You know that boy? He was in about as bad of a way as you could ever get. The Latin term is horror vacui, first quoted by the Greek Aristotle. You've heard it. Nature abhors a vacuum. Nature abhors a vacuum. It's how a vacuum cleaner works. By deliberately creating vacuum, negative air pressure in a bag, whatever you're vacuuming is sucked into that bag. That's how it works. Or to use another example of nature pouring a vacuum, as soon as the beggar who used to work the exit to direct exit ramp on highway on 53rd Avenue, as soon as he left, there was a vacuum in that spot, and somebody filled that vacuum. If you've been paying attention to things unfolding in Afghanistan, it happens all the time. It's the nature of geopolitics. When we left, that caused a vacuum. And then the Afghan army folded like a cheap suitcase. It seems like that country is almost always in a constant power vacuum. Who is going to rule over those people? In the spiritual realm also. The spiritual realm abhors a vacuum. We are human beings, religious. We are spiritual beings. And something's going to go in there. Something's going to go in that spot. The always quotable Chesterton observed that, quote, when a man stops believing in God, he does not believe in nothing. He believes in everything. It's true. Americans, you may know, are becoming less religious and more, in their terms, spiritual. That means for a lot of Americans, living spiritual lives unfettered by any boundaries set by, you know, church, pastors, the Bible. And that void, that vacuum, you're going to fill it up, that spiritual void, and they do with a lot of things. In the time of Jesus, several people came to him with various articles of baggage, and they were by him, Luke tells us, healed of evil spirits and sicknesses. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna and Susanna and many others who provided for them out of their means. How many was that, demons that Mary Magdalene had? What was the number? Seven. And when Jesus cast them out, he did not leave that spiritual vacuum. He replaced it with the Holy Spirit, and Mary Magdalene's good to go. There's no room anymore for those seven demons in her. The vacuum, or the void for us, has also been filled by that same Holy Spirit. For me and for most of you, that took place in a very certain, invisible way at Holy Baptism, where you receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that Spirit comes before that. What I mean is we now know that a child in the womb can hear things like the Word of God. And sometimes the Holy Spirit comes later to adults by their hearing of the Word of God. And that void is filled. There is no room in your spiritual house There is no room in my spiritual house for any demon possession. You are already possessed by God. The boy who was in a bad way, his father was a believer. He apparently did not have the Holy Spirit. The first time I ever ran into somebody I thought might be possessed by a demon, first time that happened, I found out that what I had learned from the exorcist was mostly wrong. The question came up at seminary, what do you do if you run into somebody who's possessed by the demon, and the teacher said, go talk to the priest. Go talk to the priest. I looked on the internet, actually. That's what I did. So, if you come to a person who might be possessed by a demon, ask that person to speak the Apostles' Creed. A demon won't do that. Read from the Bible. Demons don't like that. That's why there are so few demons around places like Grand Mound. They hate to hear God's word. They hate to hear you people singing praises to God on Sunday morning. Can't stand it. Turns out that none of the people I wondered about was actually possessed by a demon. That's the good news. But demons can, and they do torment Christians. They torment Christians, but they're just doing their job. Like the good angels who are watching over the children are just doing their job. But they can't possess you. They can torment you. They can't possess you. Phone call. On my birthday, 1994. Like it was yesterday. Never forget it. Saturday morning. Good friend on the other end. We and his wife were young pastors and pastors' wives together in Wisconsin in the 80s. Went cross-country skiing together, stuff like that. And my friend said that Jean, our dear friend, his wife, went into the basement this morning, put a garbage bag over her head, killed herself. My friend Peter wrote a book published by Northwestern. The book's called She Was a Christian. And she was a Christian. And she was, in fact, a very devout Christian. And he said that, among other things, demons tormented her. It happens. They're just doing their job, working for Satan, who wants to get you out of God's kingdom and into his own. And it's a battle. And he'd like to kill you, too, if he could do that. It's one thing to be tormented. And Jean was tormented. It's another thing to be possessed. She was not, and that cannot happen to a Christian because we have the Holy Spirit. The boy with the problem, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. And the demon had moved into that vacuum because the spiritual abhors a vacuum. So picture yourself at a wiener roast. The protein has been consumed. Along with too many carbs, not enough vegetables. You ever seen fruit at a wiener roast? And now you're going to finish it off with a processed, sure, you're going to make it golden brown with a little crunch and it bursts into flames. So at the wiener roast, have you at any point wanted to throw yourself into the fire? Has that ever happened when you had a wiener roast? And if you have a fireplace, have you ever thought maybe I'll put the TV facing the fireplace so we can sit in the fireplace with the fire and watch TV? All the bonfires you've ever seen. I think there's still some burning to be done from derecho. Not one report of any person ever leaping into a bonfire. And I think if that would have happened, you would have heard about it, because people don't do that. The boy with the problem, well, that was one of his problems. The demon that controlled him kept trying to kill him, and I suppose you could say he was trying to make it look like a suicide by throwing him against his will into the fire That's when he wasn't trying to kill him by drowning. The father says he has a dumb spirit, and whenever it seized him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So that's what happened with his demon possession. People who live in spiritual vacuums. Oh, wait, that spiritual vacuum just got filled up. Are you kidding me now? You believe that? In fact, there's a whole cottage industry out there. Most of them become university professors. People who take it upon themselves to critique God, to critique the Word of God, and they'll critique us too, the people of God. Like the Sadducees, they don't believe in things like demons, angels, the Holy Spirit, or the resurrection. And they're not medical doctors, but they diagnose this boy. Sounds like epilepsy. Sounds like epilepsy. Because in their world, their spiritual world, it can't be a demon, because in their world, demons don't exist. And that word demon, the culture has changed the meaning of the word demon. When the sports talk guy talks about that golfer with a drinking problem, battling his demons, he's not talking about an angel that broke bad. One of the problems with that soulless Bible scholar is that they aren't very good scholars, and they apparently don't know about the internet either. Did you know that the chair of the religion department at Iowa City is an atheist? In the 60s, it was a Lutheran. Today, it's an atheist. I didn't say that. He says that. He's very open about it. And with epilepsy, if you have a seizure, you shake. You don't go rigid. No clamp jaw, no foaming, and I can't find one case of an epileptic jumping into a fire or trying to drown himself. The father, he knows what the problem is. It's a demon. And he seeks out Jesus, and he says to Jesus, "And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they were not able." And Jesus sounds annoyed, doesn't he? He answered them, "O faithless generation," he's talking about his disciples, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you?" He's annoyed, he's losing his patience, but bring him on over. And this is how you tell when someone is possessed by a demon. When they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit, the demon, saw him immediately, and remember, the demon's in control, not the boy, threw the boy onto the ground. Still not epilepsy. He rolled about foaming at the mouth. That part the exorcist got right, the foaming at the mouth. And he sounds like a doctor here. He's making a diagnosis. When you take your child into the doctor, how long has he had this? Well, he was born with it. The mute, the rigidity, and the like. The larger problem, it has often cast him into the fire and into water to destroy him. That's a purpose clause. The reason why the demon's casting the boy into fire and into water, it wants to destroy or kill. The Greek word's the same for destroy, kill. It's the same thing, isn't it? And Jesus confirms the obvious. The father is a believer. And like a lot of Christians, a lot of the time the man confesses, "I believe, help my unbelief." You know what I'm talking about. Mark tells us that people are now running to the spot. A gaper's block is forming. And Jesus says the word, "I command you." It's in the imperative mode. "I command you, come out. And never end to enter again." And it works. And it looked like it was pretty easy for him. Looks like it was pretty easy. The demon has to do what Jesus commanded it to do. But not without some concluding drama. After crying out and throwing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse. So that most of them said, "He's dead, Jim." And Jesus reaches down, like the lineman reaches down for his fallen quarterback, took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he rose. That's done. That's done. And he goes off in private with the 12. The Father was speaking the truth when he told Jesus that they had not had the power to do what Jesus had just done. And now the disciples want to know why. They had done it before, cast out demons, and they wanted to do it again, but they were unable. They didn't have the power, and they wanted to know. Their question is, why could we not cast it out? Why could we not cast it out? So I went to seminary to be a pastor, and in about 20 years ago, I was called to shepherd the Springs Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs to be the dean of students, director of recruitment, instructor, and associate pastor. My plate was kind of full. Later on, called to be principal, administrator, and instructor at Christ Lutheran High School in Davenport. My plate remained full. And fundraising. The administrator did the fundraising. I did not realize that until I got there, that the administrator does the fundraising. And I didn't know the first thing about that. You know, the main reason why people don't give time or money or children to a Lutheran school, the main reason why, nobody ever asked me. Nobody ever asked me. That's the first thing about being a fundraiser for a Lutheran school, is the ability to ask people for money. That did not come easy. That is a learned skill. And I don't ask people for money anymore, but I can. And that's kind of a scary thought, isn't it? It's why the apostles were unable to cast the demon out of the boy. They never asked God. They never asked God. What? Did they think they were going to cast that demon out with their own power without calling upon the Almighty? The question, why could we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot be driven out by anything except prayer. And what's prayer? Talking to God. What's prayer in this context? Asking God to do something, like give you the power to cast a demon out. So you can't do that except by one way, by asking. That's an exception clause. The most famous exception clause in the Bible is the one on divorce. Jesus says you can't get divorced for any reason except. Except. I'm a Pornina. I did my master's thesis on this, 70 pages. Except. If you're in anything but a one-man, one-woman relationship. If you're married to two women, you got to get rid of one of them. If you're married to another man, got to get rid of it. And about divorce, or about adultery, adultery can be forgiven. But if you're going to keep on doing it and bring that third person, another third person into the marriage, the exception clause. And here, you can't drive demons out of anybody except by asking God. That's the one exception. Nobody can cast out this kind. It's a tough one. There's one exception. Just ask God. That's the only way. And isn't that what prayer is? Talking to God, asking for things like casting a demon out of the boy. And we do that, don't we? Pray to God, talk to God, ask God to do things. We do that a lot. We do that here. And when we do that here, our prayers are multiplied. And what I mean is that the sick people we pray for here, gathered on Sunday morning as a congregation, we pray for them at home, sometimes more than once a day, often more than once a day, and we add others to our prayers, and I know you do that too. And when we pray for rain here, a lot of people are praying for rain at home. and thinking about God and thanking Him when the timely rains come. Asking God, talking to God, we do that all the time. And Jesus is God. And when He commands the demon to come out, the demon comes out. We are not God, but through the power of God, we are able to do great and wondrous things like He did. He is able to do, as Paul says, exceedingly abundantly, beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. And I can tell you, and you can tell me, all the times in your life when you've had problems, afflictions, troubles, issues, that God comes up with something that's exceedingly, abundantly above, beyond all that we could ask or think. Didn't see that coming. Didn't see that coming. And all you have to do is ask. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.